Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
One person is absolutely thrilled about today's guest. Tim the Tool has been so excited that Melanie Doan is in studio. He's a huge fan. And that would be one amongst thousands. An accomplished singer, songwriter, musician, and performer, Juno Award winning, Melanie Doan has been prominent in the Canadian music landscape for over 15 years. To date, she has released 7 albums. Count them, 7. Written many chart-topping singles. And had her music featured on hit television shows such as Mr. Dress-Up. No. Brothers and Sisters, Being Erica, Flashpoint, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Scooby-Doo. And traveled numerous times across Canada and the U.S. on various tours, both as a solo artist and opening for the likes of Jan Arden, Great Big Sea, Sarah McLachlan. Well, I think you were in a choir with a million years ago, were you not?
Freaking me out.
Huh? Am I right?
Yeah.
I know how to creep. Welcome to the show. So good to have you, Melanie Doan.
Thank you.
I saw your picture and your thing and your bio at Hugh's Room, which is, I think that might be my favorite listening venue.
Do you love it there?
I really do.
It's nice, yeah.
I went there with, who was the first person I saw there? I think it was Livingston Taylor, who was on my show, James' brother, and artist in residence at Harvard Music School or something. No, Berklee School of Music. It's close. And I've seen many great acts there, and I'm a little depressed that your show's been sold out tonight. I've got a lot of questions for you. You intrigue me.
Well,
first question I have for you is, who plays more instruments, you or Ken Whiteley?
Oh, definitely Ken.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Is that because you're not a windy girl?
I'm not a windy girl in any way. Just if you were wondering.
I want to clear that up.
Yes, to be very clear. But no, I don't play any wind instruments.
Hmm.
I think that's what you meant.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you miss about the Harvest Train Shakespearean Fish days? Back when you were no one.
Back when you could have a record contract and tour the country more easily and people bought albums. That was a different time. You know, but there are good things about how it is now. But that was a neat era to be part of, and I got the tail end of it, and I got to experience what it was like to be a developing artist. That was really amazing for me.
I've had a lot of people on the show performing or just, you know, normal phone or interviews or whatever. And of all the people I've had in 11 years, when I've said, hey, people say, well, who's on your show next week? I've had more reaction from you being on the show. People have said, really? So how the heck
are you?
No, yeah, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
I really don't understand.
What I'm trying to understand, I guess, myself is, how did you get to be such a freaking rock star? And I know, look, there's the Canadian humility. There's the whole, oh, I'm nobody, shucks, golly gee. Mm-hmm. But everybody I talk to knows who you are. Everybody.
Well, that's sort of neat. I don't know.
You don't like that, though, do you? Look, I'm so awkward with that.
I've been doing this for a long time, so I'm really lucky. I've been playing for many, many years, so I've met lots of people, and that's how it goes. You do good work, and I mean, Mike Borkowski's here with me.
Speaking of rock stars,
yeah, he's the real rock star, and he'll tell you how it is if you. You know, you're a pro in this country and you do good work. You have a career if you're lucky. So I'm one of the lucky ones.
I'd like to recite something for you. And if you could tell me if I'm accurate, that would be great.
Okay.
We should have some Tiny Talent Time music or something. No, I'm kidding. Don't put it on, Tim. Grew up in Halifax near John W. McLeod School.
By the way, dear Lord, already I'm...
When was the last time you had a chicken burger in Bedford?
8 months ago.
Are they really that good?
We can talk about that now.
No, it's not that important.
Okay, I can explain it, but anyway.
Hold on, you have to explain a chicken burger?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's do it now.
Well, it's a memory. It's a place where nothing has changed since it started in the 20s, 30s. When Mitchell did it, Mitchell's here too. He's from there pretty much.
Back when cholesterol was in.
It tastes the same every time you go there, so you're experiencing a memory. So for people from there...
Is that their slogan?
No, it should be. And I'd like to do a commercial for them and write a song, if you can hook that up. You go there and relive your childhood. And how often do you get to do that? How can you do that other than at chicken burger? Or when your mom cooks you whatever that thing is. Mm. So it's like that.
That was a warm moment.
Was it? Stop crying.
Grew up in Halifax near John W. McLeod School. Wanted to be a music teacher, so you went to DAL, as the cool kids say. Auditioned for Neptune Theatre, got a part, decided to take a year off school, but ended up getting 2 years of solid work with Neptune, then moved to Toronto. Your year off turned into like 4 years working the theatre, then working as a musician, started touring the country, started writing your own stuff, then got a record deal, and yada, yada, yada.
Uh-huh. That sounds right.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. Interesting.
What?
But see, you can't trust Wikipedia. That's why I wanted to run that by
you. Right.
Do you email Sarah McLachlan? Do you guys hang out?
I do not email with Sarah, although I would be happy to. But she's a person who, you know, keeps it pretty private, which is smart.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Her and your brother were in a band?
Yes. The first group was called the October Game, and I believe it was at the first gig, and I may have this wrong. He's going to phone in or something, my brother.
Funny you should say that. Hello.
Bring, bring. I think that's when she got signed, pretty much the first time they played. But I remember them being in the house writing songs in a room, up in the bedroom or something, and I was thinking, oh, those goofy, what do they think they're doing, those sillies, you know, and they were doing
silly songwriters.
They were doing some good stuff is what they were doing. Yeah.
Is there a musical tool in your family, or is everyone brilliant?
I don't know what you mean.
Is there someone who sucks at playing music or at being a musician?
I see, derogatory. Everyone enjoys the music in the family, but that was because it was nurtured in our family life.
But is there someone that just is a complete useless putz when it comes to music? So it can't sing, can't play anything, dances like Carlton off Fresh Prince.
There's some bad dancing. Lots of bad dancing.
Lots of Elaine.
Sure. But the musical side is pretty solid.
Well, could you do a song?
Yeah.
Could you?
Yeah, Mike.
Could you introduce us to your axe man?
Yeah, this is Mike Borkowski. Hey, Mike.
Howdy.
I'm so happy that you're here, Mike. He came in from his home, and we played last night, which means it was a late night. So he's really great to come in. And Mike's played with everyone, so I'm always feeling very lucky.
Everyone ever on the planet.
In the universe.
Yep, and he's played on a million albums. I'll tell you more about him, but luckily he's going to accompany me on a song that we have been playing for a few years from an album called Adam's Rib.
Live in the Drew Marshall Show, Melanie Doan.
I cry up to the man in the moon. He's the only one can help me now. that as long as I tried, I could not leave empty-handed. But I've done all I can do, and now I leave it up to you. I'm waiting for the time. Talking to Neptune, he's the one who will teach me patience. For whoever rules the sea is now the ruler over me. I'm waiting for the tide to turn.
Best song ever performed on the Drew Marshall Show. Well done. Fantastic stuff. Absolutely amazing. Excuse me, Melanie, if you don't mind, I'd like the attention to not be on you just for a second.
Yeah, good.
That axe is the sweetest axe we've had in studio.
Thank you.
That is just sickeningly wrong.
It's beaten up. It has seen a lot of travel and a lot of torment and distress, but it continues to sound great.
What was the year of make? Do
you know? 97. I bought it brand
really?
New.
Really?
Yeah, from Gibson. It's not that old.
But when did Gibson kind of do the mass production? It's not as good anymore in that line. Do you know?
It's gone back and forth over the years,
right.
But I feel like in the 90s, somebody bought the company
yeah.
and worked very hard to restore it to, I think around the late 70s, early 80s, they had some problems. But this particular one, there's about 3 years that people consider are the sweet years that they made this particular model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you can't see it on the radio, but it's almost been on fire and it's all cracked and
nice.
Beaten up. And
a buddy of mine named Tommy Emmanuel has, I can't remember the guitarist.
Ozzy Tommy. That guy's amazing.
He's
on my album, Adam's Rib.
He is not.
He sure is.
Yeah.
You're just showing off
it's
now.
Well, you were showing off first, so there you go. That's what you get.
I can't remember the name of the Australian guitars that he plays. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Australian made. I can't.
Cole Clark?
No. Anyway, he just beats the snot out of those.
His is beaten up. I've seen clips of him, and he's got like a hole where his finger.
Yeah.
He's so incredible. He's a great musician.
You know, he's played here in studio a couple times when he's come to town, and the owner of the studio came in and watched one time, and then he went home and threw his guitar out.
Well,
that's it.
Everyone does that, I think, when they meet him.
Joseph, Fire, and Buddy. Which one rocked you more?
Joseph, Fire, Buddy. Oh, they're all very different things. Mm. One was in New York. That's pretty exciting. One was the first show I ever did. Amazing. Mm. And one, you know, was the start of my career in Toronto. So all
so you can't
pretty
pick.
Big deal.
So which child of yours do you love the most?
That's so not a good question.
I would like to know, and I think inquiring minds out there in the world also want to know, where has the giant inflatable pink couch gone? Everybody wants to know that.
I want to know,
people
too.
People have written in.
Where is that?
I wish I remember growing up with inflatable furniture. Not because we were po-folk, but because it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with being po-folk and having inflatable furniture, but, man, that was just... Yeah. Except in the summer when it was sticky and you'd rip your skin off when you know, the sweat and the nasty and... Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on. Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
He's nice as... I have a friend named John Ratzenberger. Oops. Sorry, let me pick that up again. Who is friends with Gary and goes on and on about how nice he is. Please tell me it's different.
Oh, really? I can't. Can't do it.
You know, he's part of a secret Hollywood group. They're called Conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And they are secret down there because mm-hmm. they get less work if it's found out.
Well, he's fairly, upfront about his beliefs. We had a bond in our music, love for music and making music together, and he had me come do some really neat shows, and that's really the kind of stuff that we connected about. You know, we didn't get into some conversations.
Really?
Well, we attempted it a few times, and then we just said, you know, let's not talk about those things. And we love music, and we like to help people, and let's do something that helps people, and I'll, you know. So we had some moments, but that doesn't mean he's not a great guy, you know.
The other conservative person that I would like to bring up at this point in time, which would make Gary look liberal, is Victoria Jackson.
Hmm.
Victoria is a ukulele player. Did you know that?
No, but that makes a lot of sense.
Really?
Sure. Yes.
Tiptoe through the tulips kind of a thing? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, ukulele enthusiasts are a certain...
They're like goalies?
Wonderful breed of person on this planet. Would you guys... Mike, do you know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Mike, what's he really trying to say?
They're like goalies.
And kickers, right? Yeah. But you are one.
Well...
Oh, you're not?
I'm not sure. Because,
what?
Well, there are two. My interest in the instrument, I love it, and I've played it my whole life, but I also mainly have an interest in the educational side of things. So that, you know, that's really...
So you're saying you're not as weird because you've turned this into an educational endeavor?
Well, no, I didn't turn it into it, so I can't claim that. I wish I could.
No, your dad did.
And I'm very weird, but not for that reason.
Not as weird as Victoria. Victoria's been on the show a couple times, and she has just... Remember, were you here when she played on over the phone?
Yeah.
She brought out the ukulele and sang over the phone?
That's so cute.
It was so cute.
She is... If I had to pick a spokesperson... That
would be it?
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Let's do another song, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. We'll do another one. Mike's going to play again, and I'll sing again.
That would be great. And then after the break, maybe we could dive into the Ooks of Hazzard.
Okay.
Would that be all right?
Uh-huh.
Let's
yes.
do that. All right. Tell us about this. Set this song up, please.
This is a song from my most recent album, which is called Emerald City. And I wrote it with my brother, Creighton Doan. And,
Bit of a drummer?
A bit of a drummer. Yeah, mm-hmm. More than a bit. But he's also a great songwriter and producer, as is Mike. I can tell you more about Mike. We'll drop some more Mike bits as we go. But anyway.
Mike bits.
This is called The More I Know, The Stupider I Am.
Folks, Melanie Doan on The Drew Marshall Show, and her website, of course, is Melanie Doan. That's D-O-A-N-E. And if you don't know how to spell Melanie, you don't deserve to listen to her music. Melanie Doan, what a thrill to have her in studio. And by the way, your school may be interested in a ukulele program of some sort. And if that's true, would they want to reach out to you?
Sure.
Like, are you wanting to evangelize the world of ukuleleisms?
Ukuleles? Well, I guess I want to... I want to be a good support for music specialists who might like to do the program. And the
right.
program I speak of is a real instrumental program. So not kind of a ukulele club where we might learn a couple of chords, but a way of using the ukulele as a tool for music literacy. So it's a real program, and a lot of music teachers are pretty turned on by it because instead of maybe the recorder, which is a fine instrument.
No, it's not.
Well, it is. It has its place. Every instrument,
You're so Canadian.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are limitations, and usually it's chosen for its nice cost efficiency.
Yes.
Here's another cost-efficient instrument, but you can learn to sing and play at the same time. You can still learn all your scales and your note reading, all of your basic fundamentals. So,
if you're a native Canadian throat singer, you could play the, what's it called again? The recorder and sing at the same time. So don't judge.
Well, I wasn't judging. I haven't seen that. No, I've seen throat singing.
But playing the recorder
while
at the same time?
You would have to play it through your nose, I think.
Like a didgeridoo.
Yeah, very, very much like circular. We need to do this song, shall we please? Mike, rescue us.
Eat when you're hungry. When you're tired, close your eyes. Words so simple, oh, words so wise. Don't be a jerk. It's so crazy, it just might work. The more I know, the stupider I am. Do unto others, blah, blah, blah. Be true to yourself. Ra, ra, ra. Words so simple, words so true. Easy to say, but hard to do. The more I know, the stupider. I know.
my favorite all-time Melanie Doane song. Love that. Absolutely love it. Of course, the video that goes with that, we posted on our social media things this week. And yeah, that was really well done, that video. Who did that?
Well, interesting. Mitchell produced that along
Mitchell.
With some other people. We had a sort of a co-producer, Timothy and Chris, and a wonderful videographer, Mika, and that, you know, shout out to all of those collaborators. Say again?
Small team, we did all two days.
Very small team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
Thank you.
Really do love that song. I'm thinking of making it our theme song.
Please do.
Part, right?
That would, yeah, the yeah, less we know.
I bleeped out. Did you notice I did?
Yeah, that was such good.
Did you like that?
That was really, really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, although I probably would have said it.
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't think ahead. That was the trouble.
Here's the connection.
Planning ahead is
here's the Kevin Bacon 7 degrees of whatever it is. Six, whatever. Don't wreck a good story with facts. One of your songs was on Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Enrico Colantoni was on Flashpoint.
Okay.
Enrico Colantoni. Do you know who that is, by the way?
I don't think so.
No. He played...
I don't get out much,
he's
though.
Like the chief guy.
Yeah, but what was that space show he was in that you loved?
Oh, played Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest. So he was in Galaxy Quest. Anyway, when Enrico was on the show, he dropped the first F-bomb in 11 years. So if Enrico can swear on the show, then you could have dropped that little, you know.
Yeah, I need that edge. So I wish.
You don't need the edge. You do not need the edge. Folks, a short break on our show. When we come back, more of Melanie Doane. By the way, again, the website, melaniedoane.com. Go there to find out all things Melanie Doane. I'm sure she has some things for sale, coffee mugs, keychains, frisbees.
Frisbees, for sure.
Frisbees. We'll be right back.
Depends on you. I don't plan to get it wrong. Maybe keep your raincoat on. Even just one small mistake, something ripples in the wake. When I see your face so bright, makes me wanna do.
Back live in studio with Melanie Doane, and this be she.
Maybe I'd be happy to let it all go. Dedicate my life to making jelly molds. Learn to cook and learn to sew.
Melanie Doan on the Drew Marshall Show. How do I sound like Gian? How do I do that? Can you give me some Gian tips? How do I do that?
I think you should just be you.
No, I want to be
you. Sound great. No, you're just right.
Okay, that's a little awkward.
You're just as you should be.
That's just, you should write a song about me. Actually, here's an interesting, no, I'm not going to bring that up. When I did a search on you, because that's what we do, not because I'm creeping or anything, Gian's name came up. Why?
Don't know.
Okay. Just moving away from that
one. I did
one.
Play fiddle with Moxie Fruvis once.
Really?
1993. Oh, I did a Bluebird North concert tour.
That's why.
He was the host on one of our touring things for Bluebird, if you know what that is. Songwriters Association of Canada does a songwriting.
Do you know James Linderman? He's in that songwriting thing.
Sounds like I do.
I have dropped so many stinking names for you to pick up on, and you haven't picked up any.
I'm really not good with that kind of, especially pressure. If you said, "Do you know this guy?" and it could be my dad, I get a bit nervous.
Really?
I'm just letting you know.
How many siblings do you have?
I have an older sister and a younger brother.
Who do you love more?
They're equal love.
Did you ever fight with them?
A bit, but not really. We're pretty good friends.
Why does it sound like you grew up in friggin' Leave It to Beaverville? Like, everybody's loving everybody, everyone gets along, and musical friggin' Von Trapp stuff going on, and
delicious chicken sandwiches.
Chicken burgers.
I know. We're very square.
Are you really? Are you totally a nerd? Or like, no, I guess there's a difference between a nerd and a square.
I don't know. I thought it was the same. But anyway.
Okay, so Warhorse. I didn't see it. Tim the Tool did over there. You saw it twice?
Yeah.
Got a life, man.
I'm a drama teacher. I gotta do it.
And from what I understand, you had a smaller part, but yet you were reviewed. People who reviewed the thing said you were awesome, even though your part was very small.
Well, I was a narrator, so I was there throughout.
Mm.
I had a presence. I was very important. If you know, I was not playing the role of a horse, which would have made me more important.
Nay.
Correct. There you go.
By the way, you remind me of a much mellower, let's just say this, a Canadian Christian Chenoweth.
Oh.
You remind me of a Canadian Christian
Chenoweth. I didn't know who you were going to say.
Yeah, because you have as much talent as she does.
Dreading it for a second.
And she's cool. She's easily one of the most talented people we've had on the show.
Did she sing on this mic?
No.
Because that would be exciting.
Really, would you lick the mic if that?
No. Ooh. No licking.
Weird.
Yes.
But you know, I'm trying to give you a compliment. I think you're very talented.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
But you're calm, and I like that too.
Okay.
Would you say you're well balanced?
Don't know.
It's an odd thing to ask.
I strive for balance.
Well, yes, I am well balanced. It's a signal that you're not. Being Erica, Flashpoint, Brothers, Sisters, Buffy the Vampire, Dawson's Creek, Party 5, That's Life, Baywatch Hawaii?
I think that was a spinoff. Baywatch spinoff? Yeah, I had a lot of songs. That's good.
Resurrection Boulevard, Prom Queen, Santa Baby, and Servitude. Is it worth getting songs in TV, in films? Does it bring in the coin?
Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does not. But what's nice about it is people are hearing your music, and it's nice to be part of a scene. When it's a program that's good, you really can enjoy that your music is in there. It's kind of a thrill.
Hmm. I'd like to hear one of your songs in Heartland.
Okay. Make it so.
What song are we going to do right now?
I thought I might play my little ukulele. Do you think that'll be... Can you hear that?
Yeah.
This is from the new album. The most recent album, I guess I should say.
How can a girl love a boy who's so far away all this time? When he comes back to her side, she's afraid of all the things she'll find. And like a song that's sung in a different key than the one you started out in, oh, how can a girl love a boy others to go away. How can the sun tell the moon not to shine so bright and so true? One may be smaller around, but they both have their own job to do. And like the girl who's watching from down below, she tells her little light to shine. Oh, how can the sun tell the moon anything, anything at all, anything at all?
Okay, that is my favorite song. What is it about the simplicity of the uke that just, you know, when people play it right, and I mean, like, I was sort of Eva Cassidy-ing there. I know she doesn't play the ukulele, but it was the smoothness of that song drew me in much in the same way that an Eva Cassidy song would bring me in.
That's a lovely compliment. Thank you.
I thought so. But people can get goofy with that thing, and that's where the reputation of the ukulele comes from. I've got so many questions about the ukulele that I probably should have researched this beforehand. Is it a Hawaiian thing? Or is it just that we attribute the ukulele to the big dude who sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Oh, no, it goes back further than that to Hawaii. But it is the official instrument of Hawaii, and it originally came from Portugal.
Did you say it is or isn't?
It is.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not just that Hawaiian version of Over the Rainbow is a recent phenomenon.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I have it in my mind that it's a Hawaiian-based instrument, but I'm wondering, or I'm sort of doubting my thoughts on this, and I was just wondering if it had to do with that big guy who sang that thing.
Right.
That's why I was
right. Well, Hawaii did. I think it was King Kamehameha who embraced it as the instrument of Hawaii, and that was years, and you know, that's a long time ago, 100 years ago. Or more or less, somewhere around that. I don't know. But
you're a teacher, right?
I know. I should know that.
Do you round your stories up in
yes,
school?
Yes, up and down, all over, yes. Anyway, I think you can play any style on this instrument. So, you know, people did use it. In pop culture, it was really well known as something goofy, you know, something fun and goofy, especially in the 20s. People would wear funny hats and canoes and flappers and things.
And eventually tiptoe through the tulips.
Yeah, but the truth is you can play so many things, and that's one of the reasons I'm interested in it as an educational tool, and that was the work of my dad. He's a big shot educator, and
didn't he win something?
He did win something. He won a raffle called the Order of Canada. He bought this ticket, and then they called him.
And the lucky winner is
so great.
The door prize.
He was excited.
Okay, so Dad started this. Just explain. I totally interrupted and hijacked that. Sorry. What did your dad do again?
Well, he did a lot of things. In Halifax, he was a supervisor of music for Halifax schools. So he had a band program and a string program and orchestral and percussion and everything, a choir. But something that had never been done was using the ukulele in the classroom. So starting in grade 4, instead of perhaps a recorder, all the kids in Halifax played a ukulele where they were playing in an ensemble, and they were singing and playing and learning scales instead of just learning it on their recorder. So they were learning, you know, many, many aspects of music at an early age, which then took them into the next program where they could then take, you know, wind instruments and string instruments, and it was creating these amazing musicians because the training was so great, and this was training their ears, and they were learning to read, and so he understood quickly that it was an amazing tool, and it spread across the country and around the world, and it's still going. So that's what I'm doing with it.
Because you're the daughter of? Would you have done this if you weren't the daughter of?
Well, there are lots of people who are doing it who aren't in the family. But I probably know what I'm doing because of that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But was there a shadow factor living under the shadow of mom? Because is your mom not a music
teacher
as well?
Yeah, she's a musician, and she did teach ukulele. She taught at my school. She was a volunteer at my school. when I was in grade.
So I'm just wondering, you know, if you had been raised in a, I don't know, just another non-musical, like, you know, it's a stupid talent, tiny talent sign question, crystal ball kind of thing, but, you know, was there a shadow factor growing up in this family of yours that predetermined your direction, your future, do you think?
Well, because he was a teacher and a well-known teacher, and my sister became a music teacher, and I was studying to be a music teacher, but I think part of me probably felt I needed to get away from his shadow, maybe,
right,
or his legacy, because it was a very big deal, and I wasn't prepared to take it on.
Yeah.
So I became a performer, which was sort of a black sheep move at the time, and when I had kids, it brought
it's
me back.
It's always a black sheep move.
Is it?
Doesn't matter what family you're from.
Okay.
You're
going to
be an actor? Really?
Right. Yeah, that's not good, yeah. Anyway.
But it's success.
Well, it's what I've enjoyed about this turn of events for me is that my kids have been learning music, and I'm in the community and working with kids in their schools and really enjoying the program.
So. Do you want your kids to get into your stuff?
Do you mean the music business?
Sure, or the acting.
I don't care what they do if they're
really
happy. I really don't. No. I don't. I was lucky, though. I grew up that way. My parents, you know, did you do your best? Yes. Is 75 the best mark you could get? I really tried. They, you know, great. You're
I wish,
so
I wish
proud.
My parents had said that to me. Is 43 the best you can do?
But I think you get good marks when you don't have that pressure. I ended up, I didn't just get 75. I got good marks, and I didn't
you
have pressure.
You really are square.
I'm really, really nerdy. I told you.
I don't think I've ever used that phrase, square. I sound like I'm not square for saying the word square. Do you have something that you listened to when you were younger that you now look back on and go, oh my goodness, that's so embarrassing. I used to listen to...
come on, everybody, get down, get with it. Come on, I had the wrong key there. I had that Sean Cassidy.
Oh, wow.
Get down, that's rock and roll. Remember? That's a good one. No one? Verse?
Bueller. Bueller. Mine were the Bay City Rollers. I
played with them one time.
Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
It's true.
You're throwing this down now
right
near the end of the interview?
I'm sorry, but it's true.
I would be so much more impressed if you threw it out.
One of my first gigs was playing in the Mamas and Papas with my buddy Denny Doherty from Halifax, who got me on in the band with them when they were touring the oldies circuit, and we would go to Germany and be on the bill with Chubby Checker and the Bay City Rollers, all different eras of the old. It didn't matter. It just had to be old. Mums and Papas, Bay City Rollers. It was
Chubby
crazy.
Checker's playing tonight at Casino Rama.
Wow.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Wow.
Wait, so who did you meet? Did you meet the Bay City Rollers?
Yes.
Eric, Derek, Woody, Alan? See, I know them all.
They were wearing plaid.
Really?
Yeah. So I can't differentiate them very easily. Sorry.
Because you're colorblind?
I wasn't a big fan. I mean, I liked that
oh
song. I didn't know their names
right
or have posters like you. Which
is
fine.
You.
Did you creep
I
on
had,
me?
No, but
yeah.
I said
really
Sean
did.
Cassidy. Listen, we're equal.
Yeah, Sean Cassidy was, you know, back in the days of Tiger Beat magazine.
Hardy Boys, man. I watched that.
Yeah. What was the other guy's name? Parker Stevenson.
Mm.
Oh, man, I wish I had this recall in school. Phenomenal. All right. Well, let's do another tune, shall
oh, okay
we? Please and thank you.
Sure.
And just while they're setting up, folks, let me just tell you again that Melanie Doan is amazing. Website, melaniedoan.com, Melanie Doan, DOANE.com. Mike, let's talk to you for a second. You're playing tonight in Guelph.
I am.
With a band called?
Called The Test Icicles. It seemed like a good idea 25 years ago when we thought of the name.
Yeah, 25. You know who you remind me of? Dougie Gilmore. Have you
yeah
heard that before?
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I used to get that a lot in the 90s, yeah.
The 90s called, they want the reference back?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah. I used to get that a lot.
Do you play with other bands?
I do, yeah.
Who's the coolest? Like, can we make him
yeah
sound better than he's doing?
Yeah, because, well, I'll name a few and he'll correct me because, you know, just as a young guy, I toured all over the world with Alana Miles and Andy Kerr and he's played with Sass Jordan and...
Bay City Rollers.
Bay City Rollers. Not the Bay City Rollers. He played with all the Canadian Idols, produced their albums, did all their live work across the country. Check your record collection. He's on there. Mike Borkowski Everyone's heard him. Everyone's seen him. They just maybe don't always know. Also, he's Mike Something, sometimes known as, because people say his name wrong. And so he's Mike Something. And you can see him do his solo thing as that, too. But he's also a fine, fine producer and songwriter. So anyway, and lucky people, to have him here.
If people want to creep on you, do you have a website? Sure does.
I have a couple, yeah. My production company is Irresponsible Productions.
Okay.
But E-A-R, Responsible.
Ooh,
how
tricky.
Clever, right?
Tricky.
And
tricky.
Then our band, Test Icicles, you can just search and you'll find it.
Be careful with the search.
Exactly.
Shang.
You don't want to. Yeah.
No.
It can go wrong quickly. It can go south.
Goes down real quick.
Oh, I forgot Carol Pope and so many people.
Other people, yeah.
I can't.
Look at you. You lit up talking about someone else. But when it comes to you,
Andy Kim.
Melanie Doan. Andy Kim.
I love Andy Kim. Are you kidding?
Excuse me. That was not an intentional cough. I should have just coughed. Thank you for coming all the way here and doing this show.
Super fun. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to meet you.
Shall we play?
Please.
All right. Here we go. My home. Some days I'd wonder